It's more like radio.
Rollo Tomasi's the reason I became a cop. I wanted to catch the guys who thought they could get away with it. It was supposed to be about justice. Then somewhere along the way, I lost sight of that. Why'd you become a cop?
I don't remember.
We're talking Kaiju on the Cut Print Film Podcast. Here are your hosts, Jeff, Dave, and Chris.
Hi, I'm Dave Costell, and this is the Cut Print Film Podcast, episode 12. My guests today are Christian Evangelista and Jeff Obadiah Rollins.
Well, I think you might have meant to say Jeff Rollins.
Oh,
that's me.
And who are you?
I'm Christian Evangelista. That's my real name.
I'm trying out for NPR.
I could tell.
I'm Dave Davies.
Things are going great.
For only a pledge of $800, you can have this tote bag.
For anybody who has no idea what the fuck is going on, we're actually a movie podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to Cut Print Film.
Today we're going to be talking about Godzilla.
That's right.
And then we're going to talk about some other movies that were remade for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
And movies, yeah.
You can find us on the internet, I hear.
Where?
Cutprintfilm.com. And who's this podcast brought to you by?
More like radio.
We all took tranquilizers before doing the
That's
show.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like the NPR start isn't the best way. Yeah.
No,
it should
it's
be
not.
More like a, yeah, we're here to rock!
Like morning zoo. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to Cutprint Film Pocket!
Welcome to Cutprint Film!
There we go. All right, and we're off.
Okay, we're going to get into this. So we saw Godzilla this week.
Yes, we certainly did.
Or as Ken Watanabe says, is that his name?
Watanabe.
Yeah. Watanabe.
It's close enough.
I can't read. I hope you guys can tell.
It's all right.
We call him Godzilla.
Gojira.
Yeah.
That was. Did you cringe during that moment?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, we're gonna spoil Godzilla.
Yeah, we're gonna do some crazy spoiling.
But did you see it too, Jeff?
I did see.
All right. Ken Watanabe's I liked his performance, but his character is ridiculous in this movie. He's like Godzilla's BFF, where like anything that happens in the movie, he's like Godzilla.
For some reason,
Godzilla will help. How do you know that?
He knows what this mythical monster is going to do.
He knows every motivation Godzilla has.
Yeah,
and he's right, so maybe he's on to something. But at the same time, it's like, where are you getting this info from?
Let's start out right now. I didn't like this movie at all.
At all.
Not at all.
I initially had the same response Jeff did, but today I woke up and I thought about it, and I was like, okay, it wasn't as bad as I'm ripping it apart for.
Right.
And some of those scenes were really impressive. When I went back and thought about it, the fucking monsters, like the way they would land on a building and like
the
building would kind of buckle. Like I've never seen anything like that.
The effects in this movie are phenomenal.
I'll give you
that.
They're
fantastic.
I'll give you that. But we're going to jump to the end if we start.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Mortal Kombat Godzilla going into this.
You mean Primal Rage.
Rage. Sorry.
Unfortunately, I already blew my load on that animated GIF.
You could just use Turok.
All right, perfect. Okay. He's hunting dinosaurs? Yeah. Okay. When Godzilla and the two...
Mutos.
Mutos. Which I have in my notes... Mutos, kiss my ass.
Well, it was a massive...
It's an abbreviation for something stupid.
No, it's massive...
Massive unknown terrestrial
organism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kiss my ass.
Monster under Tommy's orgasm.
Yeah. And they seriously keep referring to them as Mutos, and kiss my ass with that.
Is Muto like a Godzilla villain?
No, they pretty much
they just made that up. So that's even worse because I thought it was some kind of campy callback.
Well, yeah. I mean, the monsters themselves, like the one that flies, is clearly like Mothra inspired.
Yeah, but Mothra was like a good guy. Was she not?
Sort of. There's a gray area for all of these monsters. Or kaiju, as people call them, if they are douchebags.
Oh my god, that kaiju thing drives me up a wall. So a very long and tall wall.
Let me just clarify. If you're, you know, if you're Japanese or you're belong to like a nerdy Godzilla message board and you use the term kaiju, perfectly acceptable. If you're in the mainstream and you're on a message board for whatever reason, you're like...
Or just in conversation.
Yeah, in conversation. If you're like, I can't wait to see that new kaiju film, you're an idiot.
Yeah, please.
Stop it.
Get in your car and drive into the ocean straight to the horizon forever.
Right into Godzilla's mouth.
I hate that. I hate that term.
Yeah, I was...
That's almost like if you are referencing a tortilla chip and you... Say, man, these are great tortilla chips. That is exactly what that is. Knock it off, please.
Tortilla chips.
Tortilla.
I think I was saying, like, I think the movie that made kaiju more in the mainstream is Pacific Rim. And what do you guys think? Godzilla was better than Pacific Rim?
I didn't see Pacific Rim.
Okay.
No. Okay. So Pacific Rim, I hate it.
I hate Pacific Rim as well.
Right. I didn't think I would enjoy that. It looked dumb.
God, for as much as you dislike Godzilla, Jeff, you would dislike Pacific Rim a million times more.
I'm sure.
Because it's stupider.
It's so campy and just so...
And there's nothing wrong with being campy. It's just this movie fails at what it's trying to do. It's trying to be a fun kaiju film, and it doesn't work. But anyway, back to Godzilla.
Did the good guy Godzilla thing annoy you?
No, because that has precedent, and he starts out in the original franchise as a bad guy, but over time Godzilla becomes sort of like a protector of
So don't
society.
You think in the first reboot movie he should still be a bad
guy? That's what I thought. It was
I don't know, I kind of so I definitely liked the film more than my two co-hosts here. I'm not going to defend
protégés. We're protégés.
I'm not going to defend it too much because I didn't think it was great. I was disappointed in the movie. I wanted this to be a great movie, and I think it's merely good. I think the problem the film has is the human characters are really, really boring. Like, really boring. There's not a single interesting human character in this movie.
It is an exercise in tedium.
And like
I don't know, how long is this
movie? Like the first, it's like 2 hours and 6 minutes. Like
so the first 2 hours and 4 minutes are just tedious time spent with these characters.
I appreciate that route. I appreciate that Gareth Edwards and company were going the Spielberg route where they're trying to make it a human drama.
Oh, they failed miserably.
But they did a bad job of that. Like, I don't need the movie to be wall-to-wall monster fights. I'd be fine if a lot of human drama. But the human drama, the main character played by Aaron Taylor Johnson is the blankest main character I've ever seen in the movie. There's no distinguishable trace of this character.
He's literally just like a drawing of a man with no face.
He's just there.
A faceless drawing.
Like, I get, like, he's a soldier and he has a family. That's it. That's all you learn about him. There's nothing interesting about this guy, and it's a mistake to focus on him.
Yeah, I don't know. The human element isn't the only issue with the movie.
No, I wouldn't say the only issue, but it's
the screenplay's a fucking mess.
It is.
It's worse looking than San Francisco at the end of that movie.
Like, it's really, really bad.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a messy script.
In the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie, you've been to 12 different locations.
Oh, that's that location hopping drove me nuts.
Yeah. I didn't mind that much. I don't know.
That didn't bother you?
It got to the point where, like you said, who fucking cares where you are anymore? I don't care.
Yeah,
everything looks the same.
Exactly.
I don't care.
You didn't need the Philippines. You could have just had a different Hawaiian island, or you could have had it happen in Japan. Like, you didn't have to keep jumping from.
No, I don't think they needed to do it, but it didn't bother me that much.
I don't know. And then I started realizing that, like, none of it made any sense. Like,
no,
like the fucking nuclear power plant.
Nope. They eat
radiation.
Are you kidding me? Hell.
At the same time, do you really need your Godzilla movie to make sense? Like,
I was hoping
from the trailers.
Yeah. This movie has sort of like the same problem Man of Steel
has. I know that
they're
monsters, and I know that that's like ridiculous, but I need something to ground it a little bit to reality. And they killed off that only connection from reality to monsters about 15 minutes into the movie when they zipped up Bryan Cranston in the bag.
Yeah, that was a... I was saying
he dies, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was saying the movie should have, if they wanted to have a human main character, it should have been Bryan Cranston's character. Yeah. Not just because he's a better actor, but like that character is more interesting.
He's the only relatable character.
Yeah.
He's the only one that emotes.
Yeah.
I mean, Elizabeth Olsen emotes, and she's okay, but
she
has nothing to do in this movie.
If they cut her character out, it would serve no. It wouldn't change the film at all.
Not at all.
She looks worried, and she answers the phone. That's all she
and
does.
And she's a terrific actress. I really like her.
Yeah, I do too. But she's wasted.
The character
in this
was
movie.
Unnecessary.
The issue is if you cut out the son and Elizabeth Olsen and replace the son with Bryan Cranston, the movie is instantly better.
Right.
Because then you can have Bryan Cranston actually drive the nuke out into the ocean
and
explode.
Yep.
And it ends on this huge emotional moment of him not showing up in Rome like Batman.
There's stakes to it. They're
having dinner with Selena Kyle. Yeah.
Hanging out with Alfred.
Although I would like to see that too, where Bryan Cranston and Selena Kyle are having dinner.
No, seriously, it felt like somebody just watched Batman and then wrote the end of that movie.
Yeah, that whole ending.
How can I make this worse?
What I'm saying is, like, that would, it would have been so much cooler to see Bryan Cranston traveling with the Marines.
Like, even if you had kept the son character in the movie, that would have been a great arc where, like, Bryan Cranston finally, like, redeems himself in, like, his son's eyes and he fucking saves the world.
This whole thing was a mess.
Yeah.
Or have the son fucking die.
It's just disjointed. The whole thing's disjointed. Why did they have that entire vignette with the Japanese boy on the train where he gets separated from his parents and, what's his name? Ford Brody.
Brody being
which
a clear...
is not a name.
Jaws.
Clear Jaws reference, yeah.
Yeah.
Even his wife is named L. Brody, which, and then in Jaws, the mother is Ellen Brody, so that's like the biggest fucking, like...
And then
Brody!
They keep calling the Godzilla Jaws. And
yeah.
Like, no, they keep calling it Godzilla instead of something like... like a code name or the creature or the monster, like
there's
a reality.
There's a part where they're on the fucking fighter. What is that thing called? The ship. I was gonna say submarine, but it's not a submarine. The aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
They're on that, and the fucking female soldier is like, "We're tracking Godzilla," and I was like, "That's stupid."
You know,
don't call him.
That sounds like on Christmas Eve when NORAD is tracking Santa Claus sleigh. We're tracking Santa's sleigh. And they have like a fake reporter out in the field.
Ching, 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 ching.
He's in Beijing right now.
He just delivered all the presents. But
he's flying over Israel. He's not even going to stop. He's taking cookie shits down the chimney.
Wow.
And here we're back.
But, and like the thing is, I don't disagree with any of this. I think this is all valid, but... I was saying this movie has it's like the epitome of in adaptation. There's a scene where Nicolas Cage goes to meet Bryan Cranston, who plays like a screenwriter legend, and he tells him basically like, if you have a third act that works, everyone's gonna forget everything else. And I really think the third act in this movie does work. And
then he flies out the windshield.
Yeah. Then he, well, that was the point, Dave. It was supposed to be stupid. That was the point, but.
The third
act of this movie is it's exciting. The special effects are fucking fantastic. When Godzilla uses his fucking atomic breath, I felt like a kid again. That fucking scene where
that,
like
it didn't do it for
really?
Me.
Really, I thought that was great. Like his spikes light up and he spits out fire. I was like, this is awesome.
And I was hoping it was gonna. I was hoping that whole fight at the end between the two Mutos again.
Right.
My ass kiss it. And Godzilla, I thought that fight was going to be great, but it did not do anything for me.
I really enjoyed it. I don't know.
And I'll tell you what, I was like, when I put, because we saw it in 3D, when I put my 3D glasses on and they were running the 3D previews, I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. Those human characters killed this
whole thing for me.
They took me right out of it.
When the last time, when Godzilla finally killed Mutu number two.
Right. Mutu
like,
two.
That was the
Mutu,
one time
the Pokemon
where he like spits fire down his mouth and rips his head off. I thought that was very cool. Like,
I think it's the Hutus and the Tutsis.
Oh, all right. That's there's our rival tribes, I believe.
That time when he finally killed the fucking thing, because I was just about sick of seeing it alive.
Right.
When I was like, okay, cool.
And then the cheesy music, starts and there's a news. Break, and it's like
and
Godzilla, king of the monsters, savior of our city. Are
that was really
me?
Bad.
All the cities are
cheering.
Destroyed.
Like, yeah, Godzilla.
The
like,
city no longer.
We're
exists.
Talking trillions of dollars, maybe more.
Countless lives lost. Godzilla.
Oh, that's the other thing. It says thousands missing. Thousands? Are you kidding me? Thousands!
Godzilla's worse than 9/11.
Way worse.
Yeah, a million times worse.
It's like 100 9/11s.
Yeah, but Godzilla's really cool looking. 9/11 was kind of depressing.
And then people are just digging next to his eyeball, like no big deal.
Yeah.
Like check for a heartbeat, maybe?
Yeah, maybe get a pulse reading.
I don't know. Well, I think they could
that would have been a perfect
I think
part.
They could be forgiven for not checking a heartbeat on giant dinosaur.
They missed
monster.
A great joke when somebody could have said, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And then somebody checks his pulse.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Goldblum could have showed up from Jurassic Park.
And he could talk about chaos
without
theory.
His shirt on.
Oh, that's another thing.
Oh, wait, I was thinking when he finally gets up and walks to the ocean, I was like, how many people is he killing right now?
Yeah, probably at least three.
Like at least 12, right?
At least 12 people died when Godzilla got up.
With his giant elephant feet. Ken Watanabe.
Right.
Or Watanabe, as
whatever,
I call him.
Whatever his name is.
Watanabe.
He stinks. I don't like him at all.
Really?
In
general?
Stinks. I don't like him.
I think he's an excellent actor. I just think he wasn't given anything to do in this movie.
He
spends the whole movie with like his jaw open.
He's got the face like he just walked into a fart the entire movie.
Like he sort of looks drunk
who
all
farted?
The time.
He's
like,
moping in the background of the whole movie.
Yep. I wonder if they cut out a subplot where he's like a drunk because he looks drunk the entire movie.
Yeah, he's kind of like hungover. Yeah. He's got like... his nose is upturned.
And he's, like, always slouching. So maybe there's, like, a subplot where he's, like, this miserable drunk.
Yeah, I felt like some of the movies...
Well, any more time we can spend with these characters, that's what I needed.
These horribly bland humans.
What was his job, too?
He was a Godzilla expert, I believe.
No, because why are they keeping that fucking thing alive?
He has a PhD in Godzilla.
Yeah.
Why did they keep zapping it?
Don't
it made
me.
No sense.
They have, like, a throwaway line where they're, like... oh, because it's full of radiation, we were worried if we killed it, it would release radiation, which is like a fucking
bullshit.
Cop-out.
The whole, like, backstory to this thing is just incomprehensible. It doesn't make any sense.
I thought it was going to be a movie where they were fucking dropped into a city that had been taken over by Godzilla, and...
Gonzalez?
Taken over by Godzilla, I think you said.
Godzilla, that would have been a better fucking movie.
Guns come out of his arms.
I end up getting Goodzilla, though. Like, he's...
Yeah, he's, like, he's Goodzilla. Yeah.
I don't think he's... I think he's, like...
There's literally a scene where, like...
He winks. He winks at
what's his name?
Blackface hero guy.
I think Ford and Godzilla.
They faint at the same time.
Yeah, they're both like having a hard time. Yeah. And look over each other like, man,
like I hear you,
rough.
Bro.
Yeah. It's like E.T. all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I think Godzilla's more neutral in this movie. Like, because he does fucking kill thousands of people. I think he doesn't care who he kills. He's good. He's like, he's an anti-hero.
I just
found
it to be ridiculous.
I felt like Godzilla kept changing size, too. Like his
aspect ratio was like.
Like sometimes he would be able to fit between buildings, but then his foot would be bigger than the.
I can
the space.
Say that at least this is better than the '98 Godzilla.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like at least he's not playing hide and seek in New York City, and nobody can find this enormous monster, this enormous kaiju, Chris.
Please.
Godzilla was so boring, though, that a bunch of ships could just follow him around. Yeah. Like when that was
with
happening...
With zero consequence.
Yeah.
They're just, hey, they're on a cruise.
Yeah, hanging out with Godzilla. Yeah.
They're having, like, a midnight buffet. So, they're in the jacuzzi.
But it wasn't horrible.
It's not... It's like, yeah. Last night at 1 a.m., I got a text from Dave that said, Godzilla, more like, God, that fucking sucked.
And followed by me with a thumbs down.
Or no, what did you say?
Yeah, God, that sucked.
Yeah, and I was like, sucked is a bit strong. Like, when I think of something sucking, I think of, like, the Transformers films. Like, that sucks in my mind. This is just disappointing. Yeah. This is a disappointing movie.
And I gave it a little room to breathe, and I was like, that was a very average movie. Like, it could have been way worse.
If it had a different screenplay, but, like, a lot of the same elements, it would be a very good movie.
It felt a lot.
Because it's not even the cast is bad. Like, these
are great actors.
They're competent.
Aside from Ken, whatever his name. Nakamura.
The movie, it's filled with really good character actors.
Yeah.
Like, David Strathairn is a fantastic character actor.
He's great.
But
he's got nothing to do.
Nothing
Nobody
to do.
Anything
like,
to do.
But say
Juliet,
Godzilla a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And it's like
Juliette Binoche, fantastic actress. She gets to fucking die in the first 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
It felt like three episodes of Godzilla the TV show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it
because there are clear arcs.
Yeah.
Like every 45 minutes or so.
And which creates a pacing issue for the movie because they're hiding Godzilla or they're hiding the Mutu, then they reveal it. Then the second half, they're hiding Godzilla, then they reveal him. And then the third half, it's like they're still hiding Godzilla.
In the third half, it doesn't matter that both of his parents are dead. They're non-entities.
Yeah. He has no, like, emotional response
to
that
either.
He's
a terrible character. He's a bad actor, actually. I think he's the one bad actor in this film.
He looks confused all the time.
And this is like a petty thing, but his voice was so high that every time he talked, I was like, is he like faking that voice? Does he realize that?
I did not notice that.
Like, there's a part where he comes home and he's like, hey, son! I was like, this is distracting, because he should not use that voice.
He's missing, and his wife's just not answering the phone. She's goofing off. It's like, how is this believable at all?
Did you guys I loved the Godzilla reveal, like where he comes out and he causes a fucking tsunami. I thought that was a great scene. And then, like, he's at the airport.
I thought it was okay.
It pans up and he roars, and I was like, this is awesome. And then the movie went.
I did like the roar.
The Hawaii scenes were cool.
Yeah.
And I liked how many people were dying. Right. Like, they weren't shying away from just killing people.
Yeah.
And, like, a thing I said in my review, which is much more positive than this show's.
I didn't like how many people were dying. Sorry, that sounded wrong.
I loved how many people were murdered.
This was a work of fiction.
What were you saying?
The one thing I really I liked Gareth Edwards' direction for the most part, because I liked that he keeps the action grounded, literally. Like,
It's shot
like it would be shot realistically. Like, one thing I hate that...
Yes,
like,
I do like that.
I hate that blockbusters have evolved to this point, and I blame Michael Bay for this, that, like, cameras become... Because, like, nothing's real anymore. It's all...
Well, I blame him for the disillusion of my first marriage, too. So, he and him have history.
Yeah. Like, because nothing's real in these movies anymore. Like, he makes up these fucking camera shots where the camera's, like, constant, like, spinning around and going...
And then Zack Snyder did the same thing.
Yeah, with Man of Steel, where, like, the camera defies gravity, and it's like, you don't need to fucking do that, because it's distracting and it's unrealistic. Like, I liked how this movie shot it as if there was, like, a guy on the ground with a camera filming real monsters.
I guess if I could say one positive thing, that would be it. Yeah. I do like the way it's shot.
Right.
And
Is Gareth Edwards doing the sequel?
He might.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That was breaking news today.
It was in the news, but he might. You know, you never know.
I wish he would do something else.
There will be a Godzilla 2.
I want to not. I want to see him do a not monster movie.
I'm hoping with Godzilla 2, they learn from their mistakes and fucking make some really interesting human characters.
With all the shit talking I've done on this movie, I'll see Godzilla 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, just to talk. About
I would
it
hope
for
that.
An hour.
I would hope that it would have a Mecha Godzilla though.
Yeah,
That would be cool.
That was what I was saying last night. I would like, really like the that. Whole plot is going to be we must build our own Godzilla for when he comes back.
I'd be perfectly fine with that.
That would actually be awesome. Because that would be Pacific Rim done right. Like,
yeah. And then Mothra is going to show up.
No, please.
And
please,
the two little girls who control Mothra or whatever they are.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, in the movie he has like these. There's like two little girls who like they sing about Mothra.
Mothra, you are so pretty.
That's pretty much the song they're singing.
That's delightful.
We'll look it up in the commercial break and we'll come back.
Well, that brings us to other monsters.
Hello, Mothra, Mr. Mothra.
I was wondering when you were going to start singing on this podcast.
Oh my god! Every week. Okay. So Godzilla was a remake done...
Well, I was going to talk about other monsters.
Oh, other monsters?
Yeah, I wasn't ready for the
Tell
remake
me about the
talk.
Monsters.
I don't know. I really
Monsters,
liked...
Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, Monsters, Inc.
Hey, I love Monsters,
Little
Inc.
Monsters with Halle Mandel. Yeah. Fantastic. He does the over-the-shoulder boulder holder joke. Yeah,
pisses in a jar.
Yeah. The movie Monster with Charlize Theron.
Yes. Which she plays the beautiful Eileen. What's her last name? Eileen Wuornos.
Monster Ball. Monsters
Ball with Halle Berry.
We're just going to do this for the next 40
two
minutes.
2 hours of movies and monsters in the time.
I really, really liked Cloverfield.
Yeah, me too.
I really liked it.
I did too.
I know a lot of people had issues with it.
People shit on Cloverfield, but Cloverfield is the movie Godzilla should have like tried to be more like.
That monster.
That's what I thought.
Unlike the Mothra Muto thing, that monster was horrifying.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
What I really liked about Cloverfield is that it's really depressing. Like, the moral of that movie is like, if you're in love, you will die.
Yep.
Was there ever a Cloverfield 2?
No, they were talking about it. It just never happened.
Yeah, I would like to see like a Cloverfield 2, I think, if I had to see it, a sequel.
See, I was perfectly fine with just one.
Yeah.
I just want to know what happens next.
That's what makes it good.
I guess you're right.
You don't get to find out.
And then whatever happens next would suck.
Yeah, exactly. So, somebody will fuck it up.
They'd like tack on this happy, like, everyone didn't die. We're still alive.
We dug a hole.
Yeah, we survived.
Cloverfield is probably my favorite monster movie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what else, but...
That is a great... I really enjoy that movie. I think it's great.
I really like it.
What about you? Do you have a favorite monster movie that isn't Cloverfield?
I mean, are we talking giant monsters or just monsters?
Giant monsters. Like kaijus.
Wait, what would just be a kaijus monster movie? Like Gremlins?
Like The Fly is a monster
movie. Like The Fly?
Yeah, like The Fly is a monster movie.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's about a man becoming a fly.
What's that word? Begins with an M.
Oh, a monster movie.
A
that begins with an M.
Movie.
What about
The Fly is a monster movie, Dave?
What about the one that just came out recently?
Pacific Rim? We already went over that. It's terrible.
What came out recently?
No, not Pacific Rim. The other one with the kids. They're filming...
Super 8?
Yeah, Super 8.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was all right.
I wouldn't call that a monster movie because that monster is an alien.
Well, so is Cloverfield.
Oh, okay.
That's debatable.
Alpha's an alien. He's a monster. He's a tax cheat.
Alf.
I mean, Super 8 was kind of a letdown because it was so like built up that it was going to be this amazing.
The next Spielberg movie.
And then it wasn't. It tried too hard to be like E.T. and the Goonies.
Very hard.
Yeah.
I like everything in Super 8 is the stuff. Everything I like in Super 8 is the stuff not involving the alien. Like, I like all the stuff with the kids making their movie. Like, I wish the movie was about that.
Yep.
Like, that's more interesting. And, like, J.J. Abrams did a really good job capturing that Spielbergian feel.
Yeah, he did.
But then, like, the last act of that movie is just like, whatever. There's a fucking monster.
It's kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't even recall the name.
And I think I just called it Cloverfield a second ago.
Yeah, it's...
And then, besides that, I don't go back too far. I mean, I think monster movies stopped being made for a little. I mean, there's Jurassic Park, which I would call a monster movie.
I guess that I would call that, if we're going to call Jurassic Park a monster movie, I would say that's my favorite monster movie.
And that's the best monster movie.
Yeah.
Ever?
I think that's safe to say. Yeah. I mean, I do, as fun as the original Gojira is, that's a fun movie. His fucking scales on the back of his body are just wiggling around like pillows. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
as fun as that is, Jurassic Park 3 is probably the best monster movie.
Yes.
I was kind of, while watching Godzilla, thinking about Jurassic Park.
There's a scene Jurassic in Godzilla, World. Which, oh, go sorry again.
No, what were you saying?
There's a scene in Godzilla which is like a blatant Jurassic Park callback where like the Muto is testing those wires that hold him in.
Oh, I didn't pick up on
and,
that.
And like the sound effect is exactly the same like wire sound effect for Jurassic Park.
I didn't pick up on that at all.
Yeah. There's a big Jurassic Park homage in Monsters, the movie.
Oh, Gareth,
like, it's
Edwards.
Like, yeah, like the truck movie. Falls down and then gets stepped on.
Ah,
they're making a Monsters too, actually.
Are they? Yeah. Is he directing?
No, he's not.
He's producing, though. So.
That means absolutely nothing. Yeah. As we have come to learn.
That means he cashed a check.
When you see produced by somebody that you like,
don't go see it.
Yeah, I learned that lesson. Had to learn it many times over growing
especially
up.
Especially if it's Eli
produced
Roth.
Produced by Steven Spielberg. Oh, great.
Eli Roth will take
He'll
money to have
anything.
His name on anything.
Yep.
Jurassic Park. Oh, so I started thinking about Jurassic World while watching Godzilla and getting excited for that because I'm like, they're going to do it so much better than this. But then I started thinking like, ooh, Jurassic World could easily turn into this movie.
Yeah.
I think Jurassic World will have better human characters. I mean, I fucking hope so. It'd be hard.
It couldn't be worse.
It'd be hard to get human characters this wrong again. I've never seen a movie with such boring human characters in it.
It was also what was happening, too.
I've seen Woodshop documentaries with more interesting human characters in them.
Bob Vila.
Like, Woodshop
safety.
Hosted
a show.
Like, Metal Shop safety videos have better human characters than Godzilla.
That fucking guy on How It's Made.
Oh.
First, we put a layer of lacquer.
Yeah, that was far more interesting than the characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Are there any monster movies we're missing? There are, definitely.
Yes, there are hundreds.
There's like three or four.
I feel like monster movies kind of faded away for a little while, and they're just starting to come back.
Giant monster movies, I would
King
say.
King Kong, you know.
Like, the original King Kong is good. I like that a lot. I even liked the Peter Jackson remake, as long and bloated
as it is.
So
you're the
one. Yeah, I'm
the
only
one.
You're
the one that likes it.
I liked it once. I don't think I'll ever rewatch it, but...
That's another one that just... All those humans...
That movie is bloated to hell. There's so many... Like, there's that whole middle part where they're on the boat is the most useless fucking thing.
Yeah, that's another movie with, like, a badass third act.
Yeah.
That... kind of pays off.
Because that's all anyone wants to see. They want to see King Kong in New York fucking shit up. They don't want like they don't want to see people on the boat
and get murdered.
Yes, spoiler.
I hear it was Twas Beauty that killed the Beast.
It was Jack Black. Jack Black actually killed the Beast.
Did he do the thing where his eyebrows wiggle up and down? It gets me every time.
He took out his guitar and played some, I wish he died of cancer. He plays some sick, tenacious D tunes, and King Kong committed suicide.
All right. You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about more movie things.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound thrilling?
For 14 years, I've been a whore for the advertising industry. The only way I could save myself now is if I start firebombing.
The Cut Print Film Podcast will be right back after these messages.
Hey, Jeff, it's time for a commercial break.
All right, let's go to Chris and Chopper Cut Print Film.
Hold on, let me set it up here. Hey, Chris, can you hear us?
What? I can't hear you! I'm coming live from the Cut Print Film News Chopper. I wanted to tell you guys to go to adamandeve.com. Adam and Eve is an adult store. You can shop erotic adult toys and novelties.
Chris, did you say Adam and Steve?
No.
I think we lost Chris.
We'll have to check in on him later.
Anyway, go to adamandeve.com and type in deal48 in the promo code and get 50% off one item.
And free shipping.
And you'll get 3 adult DVDs and a free gift.
I wonder what the free gift is.
Probably a dildo.
Lube.
Hey, smokers, you stink. I'm not talking about your character. That's a given. I'm talking about your clothes. It's time to kick the butts and move over to something more pleasant. I'm talking about e-cigs from Smokeless Image. They're cheaper than cigarettes, don't smell, and are available in a wide variety of flavors ranging from mints, fruits, desserts, or the traditional tobacco flavors if that's what you want. Simply go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke for all your vaping needs. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
Hi, welcome back.
Welcome back to the Mothra Hour.
Monster!
That fucking scene in Mad Men is so good.
That was great.
It's one of my favorite Mad Men scenes when they go to Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Him and Lane?
Yeah.
All right. We're back. This is the Mad Men podcast.
Yeah.
We're drinking.
We're all very angry.
Canadian club.
We all hate all women and we all wear suits.
Get me a woman. I need to punch one.
Okay. I said bitch too many times.
Oh, we're not going to do the Mothra song for
now. No, I can play it again.
I was just going to sing it for the
I was
going to
do
this.
Some podcast corrections.
Okay.
I said bitch too many times.
That's true.
I didn't mean it. Not trying to be sexist. All Sometimes right. characters are meant to be bitches.
I'm going to forgive you, but I won't forget.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Forgive and don't forget.
Right.
That's your motto.
All right. All right.
Okay. What's next on the docket?
Remakes.
Okay. So, Godzilla was a remake,
yes,
I guess.
Sort of, yeah.
It's more like a reboot, but sure.
Which, another term that means nothing.
Sure does. You lose a boot, you get a new one, it's a reboot.
Could you reshoe this horse for me? Is that a reboot?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same.
But
same
instead
concept.
Of a horseshoe, they put a boot on it?
Yeah, yeah. Put a boot on my horse.
It's a medical boot?
Yeah. Put some hiking boots on my horse. We're going off trail.
Yeah, reboot is just when you put your second boot on.
Yeah, over the first one.
Yeah. Those big rubber boots.
Now nothing works. If you try to hike with two boots on one foot, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, you'll look ridiculous.
Well, we're completely off topic now. Just try and get back on.
Welcome to the boot cast.
We got a pair of boots on the table.
Yeah, tons of boots all over the table.
Right. We live in an era of remakes.
Oh my God. That was so stirring.
No. Chris almost killed himself the other day when they announced another Flintstones movie.
Oh my God. Yeah. Enough. Enough. I get it.
Yeah.
I get why remakes happen because it's easy. It's
guaranteed money.
Yeah, it's a tested property. You don't have to think that much into it. Studios are just like, that made money once, it'll make money again. That's the science behind remakes.
What percentage of movies released would you say are remakes?
75, I think.
Oh, my God. I was going 30, 40.
Nah, it's crazy.
It's over 50. I'm going to say it's over 50.
It's insane.
It's either remakes or adaptations of things that are tested properties like comic books. That's
okay, so part of a franchise you consider a remake. Like, so the new X-Men movie is essentially sequels or remakes?
No, I wouldn't say that.
No, but I'm lumping them all in together because they're not original. Oh, you're saying that's ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got you.
And very rarely are they good.
Yeah.
Like, what was the last?
You get a diamond in the rough, but normally...
A diamond in the
X-Men 2. X-Men 2 is way better than the first one.
Are we talking sequels or remakes?
Remakes.
I'm just talking in general, like when they're using the same property that already exists. Let's...
I mean, like, John Carpenter's The Thing is a fantastic remake.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
And to bring it up again, The Fly is a great remake.
Mm-hmm. But in recent memory, what has been like? Has there been a movie announced? Like, oh, they're bringing back.
It's usually bad news when they.
It's starting to become bad news because I remember when they first started doing it. It was like, oh wow, that's interesting.
I guess I like the Dragon Tattoo remake more, but it's probably just because it's David Fincher. Like, if it were another director,
I'll agree with you. I think that's the one. I think that's the
most
one
recent.
Remake
yeah,
that I almost, is better than the original, and the originals are good.
Yeah.
But this was better.
Yeah, I just because it has that David Fincher touch.
I almost don't consider like those movies that are translating a film for an American audience like a remake. Like Let the Right One In, you would consider that a remake?
Yeah, it's a remake. That's good.
I did not like that.
It's not as good as the first one. The first one's great.
The original Let the Right One In is fantastic. I did not like that remake.
I just always see those like, okay, well, let's make this so an American audience can watch it.
That just pisses me off because it's like, really?
What, are you too stupid to read?
You can't fucking read some subtitles for 2 hours? You're an idiot. I've heard people be like, I don't go to the movies to read. And I say, shut the fuck up.
I don't have friends to hear them talk.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I would agree with that.
Dragon Tattoo, yeah, is
probably the last,
the most recent remake. I would say I like is that.
But what about like a movie that they brought back from the dead from years ago? Like, what was the last one? Can you even think of it?
I liked
Dawn of the Dead. Maybe?
I liked that Rambo movie that Stallone made where he fucking kills everyone for 2 hours.
I never even saw that.
I won't say it's a good movie, but it's really entertaining. It's like 2 hours of him blowing people up.
Blowing people?
Pretty much. It's two hours of him blowing people.
Another Stallone would be Rocky
I really
Balboa.
Like Rocky Balboa, too. I thought that was very good.
I mean, it's not as good as Rocky V.
No, nothing
it's
is.
Almost.
Or the one with the robot.
Die Harder.
Oh, no.
No, the last good Die Hard was 3.
Yep.
That's it.
There's Die Hard 1, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and don't watch any of the other ones.
Yeah, pretty much.
Skip that second one and never watch anything past the third
one. It's like the same thing with like Indiana Jones. Like, all right.
Only watch the fourth one.
No, right. Yeah. Crystal Skull, 24/7.
Zack Snyder's...
All day, every day.
Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead is the only Zack Snyder movie I like.
I like Dawn of the Dead remake. It's not as good as the original, but it's very fun.
It's updated.
To use my favorite term, fun.
It's also a movie that falls apart in the third act.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so good at first, and then...
Yeah. It's really well made.
Ja Rule as a zombie baby.
Yeah.
Well, Ja Rule is a great rapper. He's the voice of our generation, Dave.
Yeah. He's the
Every
Bob,
thug needs a lady.
He's the Bob Dylan of our time. Ja Rule.
Mr. Rule. I have a little respect.
Dr. Rule.
He's got his PhD in the game.
But I feel like these remakes shouldn't be this bad.
No. Because there's so much money being thrown at them.
You can make a good remake. It's just...
So here's the thing. Here's the premise of... You know, this is totally off the cuff. We didn't talk about this before.
All right. Dave just showed me his cuffs. There's nothing on them.
Yeah, they're totally off. He ripped them off his shirt.
I'm giving you $100 million.
All right, thanks, perfect. Dave.
Well, we don't need to do this anymore.
I needed that.
Okay, two weeks in.
I just hired you as remake producer of my film company.
Is this $100 million in, like, U.S. dollars?
Or is it Bitcoin?
It's cut print film bucks. Well, they're worthless.
Cut print film fun bucks. Each one has our face on it. Frowning.
What can I buy with these?
You can...
More content, more daily content, more great articles on cutprintfilm.com. Can I buy that with it?
Yes.
All right.
And that's it.
More pins on Pinterest.com/cutprintfilm.
You can buy more bannings on Reddit.
Okay, I'm giving you $100 million. And you can choose the director, the stars, and the property. What do you remake?
That's a great question.
Chris, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I'm a big proponent of, if you're going to remake something, it should be something that's bad to begin with. And it's something that could have been good, and then it failed. So I'm going to go with...
Okay, you're fired.
Oh. I'm going to go with the 2004 film Van Helsing, which is terrible.
Oh, that's a really good pick.
It's a terrible movie, but as I've said it before in the past, I grew up loving the Universal Monster movies. I love the Monster Squad, too.
That you movie, and me both.
Like, it brings all those, you know, Frankenstein and Dracula and the Wolfman, it brings them all together in one movie. And when I heard about Van Helsing, I was excited. I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. It's going to have all the Universal Monsters in one big budget movie. And it was so bad.
It was awful.
It's almost unwatchable. The movie's like 4 hours for some reason. And there's literally like an 1 hour sequence at the end where the character of Igor is like flipping around. And I was like,
it looks like Yoda.
Yeah. I was like, why is this happening? So that movie,
Star Wars prequels.
Yeah. So
there's not a single van in the movie.
No, not one van.
Yeah, that's the sequel, Van Helsing 2, Van Wilder.
Styles is not surfing in on any type of van.
So I love that concept of making a movie about Van Helsing interacting with all these monsters. And then that movie sucked. So I would remake that.
Would your Van Helsing be more like Bram Stoker's Dracula, like a little crazier? Oh, who would direct this?
See, I don't know who would write. I mean, originally this project like gestated in Hollywood for years, and originally it was actually going to be a sequel to Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, and it was going to have Anthony Hopkins reprise Van Helsing and interact with these other monsters.
I'm glad they didn't do that. First of all,
well, I'd be all right with that. I like the Bram Stoker. I like the Coppola.
Yeah, okay, so then you have like a 70-year-old Anthony Hopkins sucking his gut in.
See, I'd rather have that than fucking Hugh Jackman in like a slouch hat running around with a crossbow. Like,
yeah,
because Anthony Hopkins brings like gravitas to the role, and Hugh Jackman is just fucking Hugh Jackman.
Who would you cast as Ven?
I would say he would never do it, but I would say Daniel Day-Lewis as Van Helsing.
God, would be
fucking awesome.
Just add a little.
Well, you have $100 million.
All right, so Daniel Day-Lewis is going to.
You can give him 50 of it.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis is Van Helsing, and he's fucking crazy, and he's fighting all these monsters. I don't know who would direct it because I can't think of.
I am a monster killer.
Yeah, I'll give it to Paul Thomas Anderson. He can direct Van Helsing, and it'll be the most beautiful Van Helsing.
There will
Helsing
be Helsing.
Boogie Helsing Nights.
So what would happen in the movie?
It would have a similar plot where it's, you know, Van Helsing tracking down all these monsters. It would just be good, you know? It would be a good movie.
He wouldn't have all the gadgets and stuff.
Yeah, he wouldn't have fucking stupid crossbows.
He's not Adam West.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about this movie that's not coming out.
Yeah. The Van Helsing reboot.
They really dropped the ball on that one.
Like, you could have done something fun with that, and it's just a mess. It's a mess from beginning to end, that movie. It angers me as someone who loves those Universal
it's a
movies.
Great character too. Like,
yeah,
it's this badass character,
right?
And they made it like a cartoon. Like,
yeah,
the Wolfman's bouncing off the fucking buildings.
It's
just, it's horrible.
It's really stupid. It's a stupid movie.
I am Van Helsing. You can make it a musical.
Is that John Val Helsing?
Okay.
All right. We move
so
on.
So Jeff.
All right. I do.
I'm
agree
not funding that project.
All right.
Oh, what the fuck.
Whatever. I do agree with
like
Chris.
Shark Tank.
I do agree with Chris about the if it doesn't suck, you shouldn't remake it.
Yeah, because why?
Like, however, this movie doesn't suck, but I don't think it holds up well, so that's why I picked it.
Okay,
it's Network.
Okay,
the 70s film Network, directed by Sidney Lumet.
Right.
And he did a Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, and the great Before the Devil Knows You're Dead with a
fantastic movie.
Oh,
fantastic.
God, that movie
amazing
is brutal.
Movie. So yeah, he knew what he was doing. It's very well directed, but the dialogue and the way that they're acting in this film is very campy. It's very of its time, and it does not hold up with like post-millennium
right
style of cinema. So that's what I would choose to remake. And I think maybe for directing I would pick Hal Ashby, but he's dead, so
so
he
that's
can't
not gonna
direct
work. No amount of money is gonna make that work.
So maybe Alexander Payne, who did Sideways, and
he just did something recently,
Nebraska. Which he didn't really like, but I do like his work. Like he's kind of like, it's raw.
Right.
He films raw, and Sideways is a great movie.
Yeah.
Or my number one pick would be Mary Harron, who did American Psycho, because Network is,
that would be good.
Network's it's a satire,
right, yeah,
of our times. Well, of the times then. And basically, the plot of Network, if you've never seen it, is this guy Howard Beale is a
he's an anchor man.
He's just an anchor. Yeah,
yeah, he's an anchor, and he used to have the highest ratings in the business. But like,
it's like Anchorman, if you've ever seen that.
It's Anchorman,
exactly like Anchorman.
A little darker.
He drinks milk and it's hot out, and yeah, everybody laughs.
It was a bad idea.
So he was this great news anchor that got all the ratings, and now things have changed. Everything's like, all the news is tabloidized, and his ratings are like in the shitter. So they say they're going to fire him.
It's a pretty poignant commentary on what's happening now.
Right, it's totally relevant.
It's sort of like
now,
ahead of its time, in the sense that it like predicted what the news would become.
Basically, they tell him, you're fired, your last day is this day, and then he goes on air and just goes bananas. He says, on this day I'm going to kill myself, right, on the air. And he gives this great historical monologue. It's like,
it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I want you to get up and go to your window and scream, I'm mad as hell.
Yeah, it's like that one. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it.
The only thing that would hesitate me from being behind this remake is the performance of Peter Finch as Howard Beale.
He's great.
I can't picture anyone topping that. Like, his right, fucking mad as hell speech is phenomenal.
The only two names that I picked,
Jeff Daniels.
No, this is not the newsroom. It's Jeff Daniels in his role from Dumb and Dumber.
Or Speed.
I'm interested to hear who you pick. Can we get a drum roll?
No. We don't have a drum set here. Where'd you find that drum set? It sounds just like the real thing.
Nice cymbal.
Thanks.
My first pick was Robert Duvall, who's also in the film.
Oh, that would be kind of a cool.
And that's why I picked him.
He's basically dead at this point, though.
But he's an old guy.
Old people are basically dead.
He's an older guy, and he's got like he's Hollywood royalty, and I think he's a great actor, yeah, even in his old age. But if not him, then Brian Cox, who. You don't know who Brian Cox is? He's from Red.
He's a great actor.
He was in Zodiac. He plays a lot of character roles. He's a character actor. He was in Running with Scissors.
You'd know him if you saw him.
He's in The Ring. He plays Stryker in X-Men 2, if you remember that.
He is a fantastic character.
Great actor. And he's got a full head of gray hair, which is kind of like Robert Finch.
Actually, when you said Brian, I thought you were going to say Brian Cranston, and instantly I was like, that would have been fucking amazing.
That would be a good pick, but I picked Brian Cox because...
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Dave looked up Brian Cox, and for some reason there's 100 pictures of some young man with like this...
I was going to say, no, that is not Brian Cox.
This bowl haircut.
But he's like a gruff. He's got like that voice, and when he yells, you feel it.
I always confuse him with Rip Torn.
I can see that. Yeah. He's the guy in Adaptation that I mentioned earlier. He plays Robert McGee.
Yeah, Brian Cox is who I would pick.
They look very
Howard
similar.
Beale.
I think Rip Torn is dead.
No, he's still kicking. Remember, he was in Freddy Got Fingered.
He's
great.
Dead to me. Go to click on web. I want to see if he's dead.
How about news?
Yeah, click on news.
No, he's still kicking.
Rip Torn killed in a massive bar fight.
That's
I was
weird.
Right.
It says Rip Torn torn to pieces. That's the headline lights itself.
Rip Torn ripped and torn to death.
That's what I would do. Network and all that jazz. What about you? Not the movie All That Jazz, just the saying All That Jazz.
My pick is Mary Poppins. No.
That's a terrible pick.
Okay. I kind of don't agree with you guys.
Well, go fuck yourself.
And I get what you're saying.
Maybe you should get the fuck out of your own house, Dave.
Yeah.
Did you ever think of that?
Agreed.
But why not let's take a second shot at something brilliant?
Because if it's brilliant,
make
why
it
remake
better?
It?
I don't disagree with that at all. I just agree with Chris Moore.
Thanks, everyone.
I'm flip-flopping.
When in doubt, agree with Chris Moore.
Who's Chris Moore? Bring him in.
He's I don't know.
Because sometimes...
Joke's dead on arrival.
Sometimes brilliance is conveyed in a way that is hindered by the time the movie was made in.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's what I was saying about Network.
Dated. Yeah, because Network is actually a really great movie, actually.
But it's dated.
Yeah.
And so... But it's not only that. It's the movie hits a perfect... amount of social commentary, but it could, that can now be turned to like 11 and fucking right. made insane. So I would remake A Clockwork Orange.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I can't get behind that.
No.
Because
I see what you're saying, because I think you could actually make a good Clockwork Orange remake, but I think the whole time you'd be like, this isn't the Kubrick one.
I would make, I would remake.
That's all I would be thinking. Yeah.
And it would be done in good taste, because Nikolai Winding Refn would direct it.
All right.
See, I would see it, but the entire time I'd be like, this isn't like, I can't picture any Kubrick movie I'd support being remade.
Yeah. And Tom Hardy would star as Alex.
He's too old, I think. Alex is supposed to be like a teenager.
Yeah, but he's obviously not in the movie. Like, he's pretty old.
Yeah, I can't support
Tom Hardy
at
looks
all.
A lot older than Malcolm McDowell looked in that movie. Yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say you can't have
We're gonna
that $100
million. Him up. But could you imagine, like, a future that... Like, that society, how we could make it look now. And then the fucking ultra-violence that could be shown
now.
Yeah,
I can.
I mean...
That part is great.
I mean, granted, you said Nicholas Winding Refn, but, like, I picture someone turning it into, like, the fucking RoboCop remake, where it's, like, stupid CGI everywhere and fucking...
I'm also going to resurrect Stanley Kubrick. He's going to help write it.
All right. Just write it. You brought him back from the dead to write it, but not direct
it. He's
going to
produce it. Could you produce it? We need funding.
Well, it's just like his brain. I'm going to transcend it to him.
So you're going to put his brain in an old computer like Captain America 2.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like a 70s computer.
Yeah, old 70s computer with punch cards in it. And it's just Stanley Kubrick's brain.
Okay, let's argue about this one then.
Okay.
Because we all know that J.J. Abrams is making Star Wars Episode 7.
Right, right.
But what if we just wipe the slate clean and we remake Star Wars A New Hope with Duncan Jones directing? Would you give $100 million to that movie? Granted, there's probably a lot more than $100 million going into
it. Yeah, I would.
You would?
Yeah.
You like that better than A Clockwork?
Yeah.
Orange?
I do. I have zero allegiance to Star Wars.
See, like, I don't love Star Wars that much, but I can't get behind that. I don't know. I don't know. Sorry, Dave.
Well, Van Helsing sucks, okay?
I said
so
it
do
sucks.
Do I get the $100 million for network?
Yeah.
All right.
Looks like you're getting the
Look
money.
Look at me.
It looks like if you pick a property that people don't care about too much, then...
Well, I get all those fun bucks, those cut print film
those
fun
cut
bucks.
Cut print film bucks.
I wonder if I'll go to twitter.com/cutprintfilm and use them.
Yeah, why don't you guys tweet us what movie you would remake?
I can't wait for the deluge of tweets that don't come in.
All two of them.
And also, if you ever want us to talk about anything, just tweet that at us.
Yeah.
Not anything.
Or Facebook us.
I mean, we'll compare cock sizes.
We got them on the tables right now.
Yeah. And to our thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners.
Yes.
I was trying to do like a rock impression.
Right. The thousands!
Well, maybe you gotta try next time.
Maybe not do it in your actual voice.
Yeah, maybe give a little effort. I don't know.
I'm like Jeff last week quoting comedies. We're going streaking.
Where were you going with that anyway?
Oh, go to our iTunes and leave a review.
Yeah.
A good review.
Yeah, we thrive on reviews. We
whatever.
Yeah.
It can be bad. Whatever. I'll read it. I'll be like, what a dick.
Yeah.
What dick wrote this?
But we know you're listening. Just interact with us a little
bit. Yeah, we have the stats.
We see them.
There's a lot of you.
Yeah.
Like, quite frankly, I don't know why there's not more reviews. I really don't understand.
Apparently, there's a, like, film geeks must be a very meek. Oh, I don't want to
ruffle any feathers, guys.
We love you. We will not.
Yeah. Yeah, we like our listeners.
We're fairly nice.
Except for some of them.
Yeah. Well, most of them.
You know who you are.
We don't like any of them.
Okay, right. So that's enough for remake talk.
Yeah,
since I bastardized Stanley Kubrick.
I agree.
Yeah, you made us all.
You made a mockery.
You made us all aghast with your suggestion.
So I want to touch on Palo Alto.
Is that the new movie based on the Book of Poems by James Franco?
It's actually short stories.
Yeah, I was incorrect by saying poems. It's short story. There are a couple poems in the book, apparently.
Is that the movie I don't give two fucks about?
Is that the one? I have an appropriate music bed. Hang on a second. All right, go. Go ahead.
I got to talk over a guy shitting out of his ass.
Go ahead.
With pee.
Where else would he shit?
So go on.
I'm not talking over this. All this is a good movie.
All right. Why? Why was it good?
No. I'm not doing it.
All right. Stop it just because I'm getting grossed out.
Chris actually started shitting. He's like, it's very
anytime
tabloid.
I hear it, I have to do it. It's weird. It's like a weird thing I have. Okay? Thank God I have this old person commode under me.
I got it from the thrift store.
That's
actually very hard to do, talk over someone shitting.
Mm.
Yeah, don't try it at home, kids.
Yeah, we're talented. So why was Palo Alto good?
I had some expectations for this movie. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just liked the trailer. But then it blew me away. Because I was not expecting the script to be good. And it is. And it's very realistic. And, like, very, I don't know, hazy? That word keeps coming up. It flows, like haphazardly, almost.
Yeah. Flows like that?
I'm not talking over this.
No, I'm sorry.
You're
carried away.
I kind of want you guys to both see it so that I can figure...
I'm probably going to say it. How was Emma Roberts?
She's very good in it. Yeah. Like,
I don't like her. I don't like her as an actress for some reason.
She's really good in this.
She's kind of like in the middle for me. I don't dislike her. I don't like her.
And even though Lost in Translation is one of my favorite films, I'm going to say that this movie is better directed than any Sofia Coppola movie.
Gia Coppola, right?
Yeah, Gia Coppola.
It's her daughter, right? Is it Sofia's daughter?
Niece,
okay.
Yeah.
Can I just say...
Is this Roman's daughter?
No, there must be a third kid.
There's a million Coppolas.
I'm convinced... I think Roman might be a little...
Oh.
You know. Yeah.
Hilarious.
He is very funny.
My, I'm going to say, like, as far as the Coppola girls, I think the only good Sofia Coppola movie is Lost in Translation. I don't like anything else she made. I think she's...
I'm going to agree with you.
Like, her movies look pretty. They look great. They look like really cool Instagram shots.
Yeah.
But they're shitty. Like, Somewhere is probably one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life.
Somewhere's terrible.
There's nothing.
Marie Antoinette's terrible.
Like, I hate when people say, like, nothing happened in that movie, but nothing happens in Somewhere. Literally nothing.
Nothing that carries any weight emotionally.
Like, strippers come to his house every 10 minutes.
Goody.
I see your point, but I'm going to disagree with you both.
Like, Sofia Coppola would be a really good photographer.
I really like Marie Antoinette.
No, see,
like,
it's terrible.
I love the look of that movie. It looks gorgeous.
Tell me what is good about Marie Antoinette.
The look.
So gross.
The look of it, but being able to see, like, you know, almost real... See, there are scenes in that movie that kind of annoy me, like her partying and eating cake and like, oh, look at Marie Antoinette.
I don't like Kirsten Dunst in general.
No, that's the problem,
actress,
is I don't like her, but there are parts of that movie where I'm like, this is a very cool representation of like what was going on in Versailles at that time. What was the other one? The Bling Ring.
I did not say.
And the Virgin Suicides, which is a fantastic book, and that movie disappointed me because
I forgot that she did that. So I would say Virgin Suicides, and
even that movie left me cold.
There are parts of Palo Alto. How do you say it? Palo or Palo?
No idea.
I don't know. I don't fucking live there because it's like the most expensive city to live in.
So you'll never live there.
There are parts of it that feel like Somewhere, if Somewhere was very entertaining. Which I recognize that it's not.
I don't even picture what that would be like, an entertaining Somewhere, because that movie is so bad.
There are some good parts to The Bling Ring, like snippets of it that are really good, and that's what Palo Alto feels like throughout the whole thing. It's like a good representation of high school kids and how they interact.
The reason I didn't bother with The Bling Ring is sort of the reason I don't want to see this movie is because like, it's about like... wealthy white kids and their problems. Like, you know what? I don't want to see a fucking movie about that because I don't give a shit. Like, rich white kids in LA, look at their problems. Like, you know what? Fuck them because they have more money than I will ever fucking have and I don't give a shit.
So. I liked in your review, you said you compared it to like a John Hughes.
Yeah, and that's how it feels. It doesn't, that's what The Bling Ring does, Chris. Right. It is like a insane Hollywood,
right?
Like, material,
but that's
culture.
A completely different director too.
Yeah.
So putting that aside,
I mean, this is a weird thing we're doing here, and I feel bad for.
We're comparing both. All Coppola women to each other. They're all the same woman, right? Yeah. How do women work with the last name?
Hyphenated. I don't know.
Palo Alto doesn't get bogged down in the wealth.
Okay.
It's there. It's like in the background. There's no black people in the movie at all. Like you.
Well, Coppola wrote it.
Well, I mean,
ever seen The Godfather?
It's an obvious portrayal of Palo Alto, and this is the wealthiest place you could live.
Is it like pointing a finger at that? Like saying,
what? I would say yes.
Okay. Are there a lot of iPhones in this movie? Like, no. I picture every scene people looking at iPhones.
No, there's not. Okay. And as I was watching the movie about 45 minutes in, I was like, they're doing a good job at portraying modern teenage culture, but there's not enough phones in it because people just stare at their phones all the time.
That's all teenagers do is look at phones.
And then there is like a little phone action. So I'm like, all right, there is actually a scene where James Franco's like, the first step to doing your homework good is turning off your phone.
To doing your homework good.
Yeah.
Interesting. He's a teacher, huh?
He doesn't say that.
Doesn't he play like a gym teacher? What is he giving homework for?
Because he's trying to have sex with Roberts.
It sounds like a great
He's tutoring
film.
Her.
I got to do some really elaborate gym homework tonight.
Is someone still shitting under us?
Well, I think it might be.
All right. like a John Hughes film.
Right.
It feels like a modern John Hughes film.
That is the sole reason I'm going to check it out. Oh, and I don't hate James Franco. I really like James Franco.
No, I like him a lot. I don't know.
I like James Franco.
I think he's cool.
Okay.
I keep tweeting him. He doesn't tweet me back.
Well, he's not that cool, then. He told me he didn't like...
All right.
And he plays this role very well because the second he shows up, you get... like in the pit of your stomach, like that's a fucking creepy person.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And without actually,
he's creepy in real life, so it comes natural to him.
That might be what it is. Well, he filmed this before any of that happened, but
yeah, but it's not like it wasn't there.
He's just very method.
And it's like, oh, like that's the kind of feeling you get.
I'll say it,
but it's John Hughes without being as annoying as John Hughes movies because I don't find them very great.
No, they're not great, but they are, they're locked into their time period.
The only John Hughes movie I would say I really like is The Breakfast Club.
Right, and even that suffers from some nonsense.
It's
like,
very 80s.
Emilio Estevez's character is in detention because he taped a kid's butt cheeks together.
And then, like, I think the...
Never forget.
The C. Thomas Howell character is in detention because he brought a gun to school.
Yeah.
That's how much times have changed. Like, I brought a gun to school. Detention. Like, that would not happen now.
I have an issue with Breakfast Club because it focuses too
There's
heavily...
There's no breakfast.
Not at all.
Yeah, why
no
is it
bacon,
called
no
that?
Eggs.
Yeah, where are all the eggs?
It focuses too heavily on cliques, and I'm a person who thinks, like, I didn't experience cliques in high school. Like,
no, I didn't either.
It was just a bunch
either.
Of kids.
I hated high school.
It was a terrible place.
Anytime I meet someone, they're like, I loved high school. I'm like, you're probably a sociopath.
Oh, I loved high school.
Well, you're probably a sociopath.
I was widely liked.
I did not have a good time in high school.
But you know what I mean? There's like no effort to... Everyone's hanging out with each other, and it's never defined who's friends with who.
The Breakfast Club has a shitty moral.
I'm talking about Palo Alto.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
The Breakfast Tub is not a good movie.
Breakfast Tub? You eat sausage links.
The Breakfast Tub with butter in it.
I'm three drinks in. This happens at the end of every podcast.
Well, then I think we need to do our movie recommendations.
I didn't get to talk
about Palo Alto.
God's Pocket.
Oh. It's like Godzilla, but it's just Godzilla's pocket.
It all takes place in a pocket.
Yeah.
It's a hour-long Hot Pocket commercial.
You want to talk about that next week?
Sure.
Because that's... I mean, it's on video on
demand. It wasn't that good.
Yeah, the only thing that happens next week is X-Men, and I'm not seeing that.
Maybe I'll see it.
All right.
Our resident comic book
that's my job.
All right, we doing movie recs?
If anyone's still listening, we are.
All right, here we go. There's only two more minutes of this. Hang on.
Was that Daft Punk? Did they just come in here and
do it? That was. They had their helmets on and all.
Yeah, sounded pretty close.
Okay. Who's going first? I went first last week. I won't do it again. All right, I'll do it.
Okay, you're going to do it? Pinocchio 3?
My arm. My recommendation is the Pinocchio starring Roberto Benigni.
From now on, every recommendation will be Pinocchio related.
No. My recommendation is 1999's Ravenous. Have either of you seen that?
Yes. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's finally on Netflix.
It's so good. Oh my God.
It's fantastic.
Completely underrated. Yep. And maybe a future underrated edition.
This movie, it should be.
I was thinking of writing that.
You should.
I will.
Because this movie should be on all sorts of lists, like best movies of the 90s at the minimum.
It's great. It's really good.
It's directed by Antonia Bird, who's a UK director who really didn't do a whole lot much.
She actually died recently.
Yeah,
she died.
Yeah. She did a lot of TV work, like with BBC, I think.
Her Rip Torn.
No, Rip Torn still alive.
Yeah, they were in the same car. They crashed.
Matthew Broderick crashed right into
Matthew Broderick run them both over. I'm sorry.
This was actually her last feature film. It stars Guy Pearce and Robert Carlyle, who you may know from 28 Weeks Later.
Or Trainspotting.
Yeah, yes, Trainspotting. Jeffrey Jones, the child underwear sniffer.
The alleged kitty rapist.
He's in it, and he's really good in it,
yeah.
As he is in most things. He's also Mr. Rooney from Ferris Bueller, if you don't know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
David Arquette.
Who is the one weak link in the film.
He plays one of two mentally ill men in this movie.
Yeah.
And the other one would be Jeremy Davies, who you may know from Lost.
He's really good in
this. He's excellent. It's about... it takes place in like Civil War times.
Right.
It's like after the Civil War.
It's right after the Civil War, basically.
And it's about cannibalism. And this guy put this, what's his name? Ford or something like that?
I'll look it up.
Boyd.
Keep talking.
Boyd, something like that. Played by Guy Pearce. He gets relocated to a Northern California camp, which only has like six men in it. And a stranger comes one night and tells this story of his party that was abandoned. Or no, they got lost, and it started snowing, so they had to resort to cannibalism. And the leader of the camp got crazy and started killing everybody in the party and eating them.
And it's sort of reminiscent of the real-life Donner Party.
Yes, and this guy escaped, and then things get fucking nuts. Dude, you have to see this movie. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
Like, the last hour of the movie is just like
nail-biting
to the
terror.
Wall, insane.
And it takes turns that you are not expecting it to take.
Is it a horror movie?
It's classified as that, but it's more than that.
Yeah, it transcends horror.
It's smart. It's a really underrated movie.
And the soundtrack is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, wink, wink for next Sunday.
Is it Total Fiction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That got kind of excited.
Yeah,
there.
It basically... No, I don't want to give this away. I won't give it away.
Yeah, the less you know, the better.
I won't even say the word. You know the word I'm talking about.
The more you know.
It's an Indian word.
Oh. Wait, what?
Gambling. No. That's not it.
Alcohol.
So yeah, that's my recommendation. 1999's Ravenous, starring Guy Pearce.
Very good.
All right, who's next?
I had to be quiet for that?
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend a movie that I have recommended. I've not recommended, but I've mentioned it a couple times on the podcast because we all loved Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Denis Villeneuve. Is that how you say
Denis.
It? Denis. Is it a woman?
No, I hope not. Guy.
The Prisoners. Or no, Prisoners. It's
Prisoners.
Just called Prisoners. I always say the.
That's on HBO Go.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why it came popped up. Because
like recently...
Yeah, like
HBO Go.
This week, actually went up after the podcast last week, turned on HBO Go, and there it was.
I'm
like, I'm recommending that next week.
I'm going to watch it.
So that's why I'm recommending it, because I want everyone to watch it who hasn't seen it. It's a very good movie. It's very reminiscent of True Detective.
Oh, fantastic.
And Jake Gyllenhaal, who I was never a huge fan of until recently.
He's really good.
He's fucking awesome.
He's probably, I think he's the best part of the movie.
Yes, definitely. He plays like a
detective.
Where does that take place?
I don't even know.
It's like
I think it's like Washington.
Yeah,
State.
It feels like.
Is it the Earth's core? Is that where?
It takes place in the Earth's core.
Well, they're drilling down to it.
Oh, all right. Trying to get to China, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to.
They're
you
picking
know,
their nose.
They're trying to restart the function. Okay, never mind.
Is Keanu in it?
It does feel very Pacific Northwest westy.
Pacific Rimist.
So Jake Gyllenhaal plays this cop who's like really good at his job,
mm-hmm.
but he's like tatted up. I don't know. It's a very bizarre character, but he plays it well. I think Hugh Jackman weighs the film down a little bit.
I like the movie a lot. I think
that's because his skeleton is adamantium. That's the problem there.
I think the
very heavy metal.
The rift.
I think the third act of the movie is kind of a mess, honestly. But I really like the movie, so I
really like the ending.
Why don't you give it away right now?
Yeah, I won't. I don't want to spoil it. So
it's a very creepy movie, and it. I like movies that have red herrings in them.
Me too.
No spoilers.
Salmon fishing in the Yemen, and they catch that red herring.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Oh my god!
Look what I caught. They say, and like, they throw it back. It's just a red herring.
I'm telling you, if you are listening to this podcast and have never seen Prisoners, go watch it.
It's definitely worth watching.
Paul Dano is great in it.
I love him.
He plays a very good creep because he's very good at being creepy.
Right. He looks like a guy that just sniffs bleachers for fun.
Yeah. That's pretty much who he plays in this movie.
He may be the best supporting actor of our generation.
He's terrific. He really is.
And I wish he was in Star Wars. I would put him in my Duncan Jones Star Wars remake.
Who would he play?
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. All right.
I can't picture him as Luke Skywalker.
Right, I'd bleach his hair blonde.
Chris, what do you got?
Can you get the panther out of here? We're trying to record a podcast.
My recommendation is a film I stayed up till 3 a.m. watching last night.
I knew you were going to do this
It's a documentary from 2010 called Never Sleep Again, The Elm Street Legacy. And it is
so good.
It is an exhaustive look at all of the Nightmare on Elm Street films except for the terrible remake, which they don't touch on, and nor should they. Basically, if you grew up... if you grew up loving the Elm Street movies, this is a movie for you. It's a fun movie. It's even though it's 4 hours long, it never gets boring. Like, it's an engrossing movie.
When I watched this, I split it up into, I think, 3 viewing sessions. Right. And man, I loved it.
I watched it all at once, and like basically anytime they finished talking about a movie, I would pause it and take a break, and then I would come back to it. It's a fun movie.
I've never watched Nightmare on Elm Street again because I pissed on that kid's floor, remember? I was too scared.
You should watch it. Even if you haven't seen any of them,
It's
great.
It's very revealing. Like, it's sort of a warts and all document. Even though there are a lot of scenes where, like, the filmmakers talk like they've made, like, art.
And that is part of the charm of this movie. Like,
yeah.
They're very serious. Like, they think they've made
excellent movies, which is kind of funny, but...
And then there are some of the actors that, like, acknowledging, like, this one was a real piece of shit.
Like, they freely admit when, like, there's a whole thing about, Part 2, which for years people had always talked about how it has this weird...
Homosexual...
I don't want to say weird because that makes it sound like gay people are weird, but it has this gay subtext to it. And for years people have been like, is that intentional? And in this documentary they basically just admit
It's very fascinating. I'm all on board with this recommendation.
And it's on Netflix, and that's where I watched it. So if you got 4 hours to kill, sit back and watch Never Sleep Again, The Elm Street Legacy.
All right.
That's a good week. Just don't go see Godzilla.
Yeah, there's no need to.
Yeah, maybe.
You probably have if you listen to this because we destroyed it. But all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to More Like Radio on Monday at
morelikeradio.com.
Morelikeradio.com on Monday at 6 o'clock.
5 o'clock, actually.
Okay, go at 5 o'clock. And just type in the chat room.
Or even go at 4, get ready.
Okay, go to morelikeradio.com, click the live button, and that's where you'll hear this very show syndicated on Monday between 5 and 7. They play it from 5 to when the show ends, and then they replay it again, and then it gets cut off at 7 for the next show.
Okay, so it just ends abruptly, right now.
Yeah. but yeah, please, go check that out. Interact. Chat in the chat room.
There's some great podcasts on More Like Radio.
Yes,
too.
There are.
Some of our partners. Hippo Juice is one of them.
Hippo Juice is enormous. They actually have celebrity guests.
Which we need to start, taking advantage of that.
Yes.
Send them
our
way.
Maybe take them out to dinner or something. And
you guys want to go
try and get
dinner?
A thumb in? I don't know.
We'll take you out to dinner. Chris is paying.
Yeah.
I got that $100 million for that Van Helsing.
No, I got it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, you just file that under,
Sorry, my fake leg just fell off.
Robert Duvall's paycheck.
Who else should they check out?
High Society Radio.
Yes, that's Chris Pepper Hicks Stanley.
Yeah, and Bronx Johnny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that who's on
there? That's who's on there.
All right.
It's a good podcast. It's funny.
It's very funny.
They're very funny people. And that's it. Go to our Pinterest, go to our Tumblr, go to all that. Just
more, Twitter, Facebook.
Most importantly, when you're sipping your morning coffee and you're like, I wonder what's going on with movies, go to cutprintfilm.com. Fuck all those other sites.
That's right. We have news. We have original content.
We constantly blow off our real paying jobs to post stuff on there during our work day. For you.
If there's movie news that you will care about, it will be on here.
That's right.
You don't have to read about acquisitions and what movie someone you don't care about is starring in. We'll tell you the good stuff.
Right. And we also don't... We try not to post too many comic book movie news because that seems to dominate every other news site. So if you want, like, the bare bones, almost nothing, go to cutprintfilm.com. You want, like, 10% effort, we're your guys.
Okay. And on that note...
See you later.
Please go to cutprintfilm.com for more movie reviews, opinions, and original articles about the movies we love and hate. And be sure to subscribe to the Cutprint Film Podcast on iTunes. I'm Moon Man, signing off until next time.